And this guy comes up to him and he says, I tell you what, he said, if I can tell you exactly how many sheep you have, can I have one of them? And he said, okay. And so he looked at him and he said, you have 1,765 sheep. And the guy was just amazed. And he said, okay, well, you guessed it. You know, you can have one of them. So the guy picked up one and threw it on his back. And the guy said, the farmer said, I'll tell you what. He says, if I can tell you what you do for a living, can I have my sheep back? And the guy said, yeah. And he says, you work for the federal government. He says, that's right. How did you know that? And he says, put my dog down and I'll tell you. Now, and I don't say that lightly because, you know, we all make fun of the federal government. What would we do without them? But we're going to be talking this afternoon about submission to authority. And we're going to start, first of all, with submission to government. So I thought, because it is hard. It is hard to submit to a government that you are pretty sure they don't know what the heck they're talking about. And I could tell story after story after story, and you all have dealt with them, and you know what I'm talking about. It is a tough line to follow to be both submissive to God and to be submissive to an ungodly, secular government. Write that down, ungodly, secular government. And the truth is, write this down, all government, even an ungodly government, is placed over us by God. And that's what we're studying this afternoon. So let's read in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. It says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Let's pray. Father, as we study this, it's so tempting for us just to get frustrated with the government and get frustrated with all of it and just to really and truly just not submit. But help us to study your word this afternoon and see what you say about all of that. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't scream. My Bible fell on my foot, but I'm all right. Nothing like getting a wake-up call in the middle of prayer. Now, we read this, and basically it just says, honor the king. Now, to understand the king he's talking about is Nero, and Nero's going around killing every Christian he can find. That's kind of strange, isn't it? So Peter is telling these people, the Bible is telling these people, us, even though this guy is going around here and arresting everyone he can find, even though he's killed people in your families, even though he's killed friends of yours, even though he's taken your home away from you and you're living on the road and all of that, even though all of that has happened, honor the king. Now, we can make fun of our government, but very rarely do they come in and arrest us and throw us in jail or kill us or whatever because we're a Christian, right? That time may be coming, but it hasn't yet. But even when it does come, Peter's talking to these people who are on the road. Nero's the king, and all of this is going on. And Jesus backs this up, folks. It's not just Peter making this up. Jesus over in John 19:11, you remember he was arrested and brought before Pilate? And Pilate wants him to defend himself. And Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to give you freedom or to kill you? And Jesus in John 19:11 says, you have authority over me only because it was given to you by God. You know, you don't have any authority over me. Only God has authority over me. He gave you your authority. And we need to understand that. The truth is, we are to submit to earthly rules. And we are, you know, to understand that. But there are times, and we want to, and I'm not trying to make hedgehog out of this, but there are times that we must obey God rather than man. Over in Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles answered, we must obey God, not men. Now, what the deal was, they had been arrested for preaching. And so they were told not to preach anymore. And Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. The same man speaking in Acts is the man who wrote 1 Peter. What is he saying? How can we obey both God and submit to an ungodly, earthly, governmental authority? Because in one place he says we must obey God rather than man, and in the other he says submit to earthly authority and honor the king. Here's what the lesson is. Write this down. We obey God, and then we take whatever consequences for that that earthly authorities decide to mete out. That's not an easy thing for us to do. It's not easy what we want to do. They called the apostles in Acts 5:40. And they had them whipped, and they ordered them to never again speak the name of Jesus. And then they set them free. Can I ask you, did the apostles speak the name of Jesus? Yes, they did. They were beaten. They were ordered to never preach the gospel again. They left. They preached the gospel. And they were later killed by the government for doing that. They did not raise an army of rebellion against the government. Back to our passage, verse 13. Submit yourselves, therefore, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to be to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. This is the will of God. It's God's will. It's not what you want. It's the will of God. Why? So that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. And he says, you have freedom. Act as free men, but do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Here's the truth, folks. God is honored when we are obedient. Government is the will of God. We are to obey His will, and that honors Him. Now, folks, write this down. Disobedience dishonors God. Believe it or not, God is especially honored, write this down, when we are faithful to obey Him under harsh conditions. That's an amazing thing. God is more honored when, in spite of harsh conditions, in spite of hard times, in spite of all the evil things that man can do to us, we still honor Him and stand for Him and don't rebel and don't stand up for our rights and all of that. God is honored. Here, listen, listen. Matthew 5:46. Why should God reward you if you love only the people who love you? Even tax collectors do that. Luke 6:32. If you love only the people who love you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners do that. And if you lend only to those to whom you hope to get it back, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. No. Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. You will then have a great reward, and you will be children of the Most High God. For He is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Ephesians 6. Now this is the next session we're going to be talking about slaves and their obedience too. Okay? And this is kind of getting into that, but I'm just going to read it now, and then next time we'll refer back to it. In Ephesians 6, 5, it says, slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling, and do it with a sincere heart as though you were serving Christ. Do this not only when they are watching you, because you want to gain their approval, but with all your heart do what God wants as slaves of Christ. Do your work as slaves cheerfully, as though you serve the Lord and not merely human beings. Remember that the Lord will reward each of us, whether slave or free, for the good work we do. And masters, behave in the same way toward your slaves and stop using threats. Remember that you and your slaves belong to the same master in heaven and who judges everyone by the same standards. And again in Colossians 3:22, slaves, obey your human masters in all things, not only when they're watching you because you want to gain their approval, but do it with a sincere heart because of your reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. Remember that the Lord will give you a reward as a reward what He has kept for His people. For Christ is the real master you serve. And all wrongdoers will be repaid for the wrong things they do because God judges everyone by the same standards. Scripture demands obedience. What happened to my water? Oh, there it is. Scripture demands obedience, except when that authority demands, write this down, immoral or ungodly behavior. Now, when that is demanded, we must obey God rather than man. You know, we have a lot of opportunities nowadays for that because, you know, we have doctors who are now being demanded to do abortions that they shouldn't, you know, they can't with clear conscience do. We have government officials who are Christians who are being demanded to issue marriage licenses to people who are the same sex, and they just can't seem to do that. And so what do you do in those cases? You have to obey God rather than man. Well, then when that happens, there will be consequences. Okay. Okay. When such behavior is demanded, we obey God rather than man. If it means arrest, if it means imprisonment, if it means fines, even if it means death, even when this happens, we are to submit to the government. Now, understand that. Because, see, that's the key thing there. You know, we are not, don't get me wrong, we can exercise legal options. I'm not saying don't ever do that. But what I'm saying is too many times Christians in our society are ruining their testimony to a lost and dying world by demanding their own rights. Because when we surrender to Jesus, we surrender our rights. And we stand for Him, and He didn't stand for His rights, you know. And when that happens, and when we stand for God, and when we obey God rather than man because we've been asked to do something immoral or ungodly, then we must leave the judgment to God. In our nation, we are living in a unique historical situation. This is the only time in the history of the world that we have been living, a nation has been living as we have been living, because we select our own government. As such, we are to select a godly government. When we do not, then we fall under God's judgment. Now, and see, we can talk about the government and talk about how evil they are and talk about how bad they are and talk about this, talk about that, talk about this. But if we, the people, elect them and select them and allow them to stay in, even though they are not representing us and our values, then our nation falls under the judgment of God. But understand this. Write it down. All authority is sanctioned by God and will be held accountable to God and by God. Romans 14, 12. Every one of us then will have to give an account to God. Historically, God has been so good at taking down ungodly governments. I mean, He has just been good at it. He took out the Canaanites. He took out the Assyrians. I mean, He took out Adolf Hitler. I mean, He has been good at doing that. And so we need to understand that and leave the judgment to Him. So what does all this teach us about our actions as modern Christians? Well, three things. They're in your conclusion here. Number one, seek to have a good government. And that means vote. That means be a part of the political process. And if it needs to be that you need to stand up and say this candidate is a good man or a good woman, then do that. And then secondly, when the process is done, submit. You know, I have to admit, I don't watch news very much. I just don't, because I get frustrated because, you know, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. My niece, she won't even watch it anymore. She's kind of a liberal, but she still won't watch it, you know. But she just, you know, says most of it's just made-up stuff, you know, that they make up to try to get you to believe the way they want to. But the other day, you know, after they had the Golden Globe Awards or something like that, and old Oprah was on there, and all this, it was all about the women and their rights, and all of that. Well, then Oprah's talking about, they were talking about getting Oprah to run. And there was this guy that run for president. So this guy comes on and he says, I think Oprah needs to decide whether she wants to be the country's pastor or the country's president. And it just, oh man. Becky had turned off because it was just it got all over me, you know. You know, and Oprah didn't say that. It was this kind of squirrely looking guy from California. You know what I'm talking about. But you know, those kind of things just drive me nuts. And I got to thinking, what would we do if the woman became the president? You know? Y'all are laughing, but who would have thought we would get Obama? But think about it. Think about it, you know. Well, you know, and then the next thing I did, Peggy, was open up my Bible, start studying this lesson, and I was like, golly, I would have to submit to her. I could see it now. Yeah. It's tough, man. That's tough. And you think, but it's, you know, when the process is done, submit. And I'll have to admit, when we had our former president, I had a lot of trouble. You know, I got it, and y'all are my witness. I prayed for him every Sunday. And I should. And I prayed for him every day. I did. I prayed that the guy would get saved because I don't want anybody to go to hell. But, and then finally, thirdly, if you must break the law for moral purposes, take the consequences without whining. That honors God. We're going to talk about Jesus in the next session and him on the cross and all of that. But let me just tell you, when Jesus was up there on the cross, Cater, he didn't whine about it. He had a reason to whine, didn't he? He's the only person that ever lived, never did nothing wrong, and here he was up on the cross. He had a reason to sue somebody. Leave the overthrow of ungodly governments to God. And Linda Spencer was so funny. She used to just, every time she'd talk about the American Revolution, she just couldn't believe it because we rebelled against the government. And I thought, Linda, just move to Canada, you know. But anyway, at times God does lead people to rebel, you know. But you make sure it's him. Discussion questions. I don't know what time it is. What time is it? Okay, well, I got a few minutes here. Why do you think God allows ungodly governments? Now, think about that. I mean, he allowed Nero. Nero was one of the worst, you know. Why do you think he does that? To what? Judgment on godly people, yeah. He raised up the Assyrians for that. That's definitely the truth. Yeah, caused the people to turn back to him. Good. Show the dire consequences of sin. That's good, yeah. How does it affect Christians when they are to test us? That's what I was looking for, Lee. Lee and I think so much alike. But that's it. To test us, because really and truly, I mean, if everything goes smoothly and everything's perfect all of the time, life's not like that. It won't be perfect all the time in the first place. But to be honest with you, God gives us goofy governments and goofy school teachers that write you up sometimes because you don't come in and give you your hand in your thing on time. You remember that? You and Ainsley? That was the funniest thing. I just had to write them up, Jordan and Ainsley, because they've never been written up. You remember when I did that? You don't even remember. Never mind. Anyway, that was it, you know. He gives you people, and we're going to talk in the next session, our bosses sometimes, co-workers. It's a big deal. All right, and one more question, we'll take a little. How is an ungodly government possible in a democracy such as what we have? We don't really have a democracy. We have a federal government, but we'll call it a democracy. How is it possible? Ungodly people. Somebody asked me one time, how can a church of Jesus Christ become so off and so messed up? How can that be? Anybody want to guess? The people, the pastor, the leadership. You know, I mean, if we take it on ourselves, it will be messed up. If we get away from God and take it on ourselves, it will be messed up. And that's what happens to countries. When we kick God out of these schools and we can't teach kids about God anymore. And believe me, I struggle with that because, you know, I don't have any trouble with anybody around here teaching kids about God in school, but I might out in Utah. Because their God's not, they don't have the same God we do. Or what about, you know, up in Dearborn, Michigan, where 80% of them are Muslim. We want them teaching about God. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that, kind of. But when you just go blatantly to kick him out of everything to do with everything, don't expect, you know, him to stay in government. It ain't going to happen, you know. Anyway. Okay, well, we're going to take